So normally we would be able to have Pastor Eddie here with us this morning, but due to COVID restrictions, he is not able to travel to be with us, which is unfortunate, but we still have something exciting this morning just the same. In our series we've been going through, we're looking at, you know, why is it we're called Essential Church? It's because we want to remove every non-essential barrier between people and God. And sometimes I get asked the question, well, what exactly are some of those non-essential barriers? Well, last week we talked about Christian cancel culture and how the church pretty much invented cancel culture thousands of years ago, long before modern times. Another reason why people oftentimes will say, you know, that they don't want to go to church is because they'll say this statement. Maybe you've heard this. The church just wants my money. Yeah. Oh, so you're not going to raise your hand. You're just going to laugh because you thought it. You're one of those people, right? And people say that because that's what their experience has been. And we set out as a church, we wanted to change that perception about church. At the end of every service, unless Mike is doing the announcement, you'll hear somebody say, we return back a portion of what God has blessed us. He's new, I'm sorry. We've been joking him on staff, so we'll be like, hey, y'all, give. We're a little more nuanced than that, Pastor Micah. We talk about how we want to return back a portion of what God has blessed us with so that we can continue the ministry here in Virginia Beach as well as around the world. Because that statement that we say is packed with the foundational principles from the Bible that help us lead the way in generosity. And so we've been working with Pastor Micah on those kind of finer points. If you see him, by the way, he looks like a zombie right now because he's been awake, I think, for 48 hours with a lock-in this past weekend and then, you know, doing everything else associated with that leading up to it and since. So just pat him on the back and say, we love you, man. Two of those principles, that statement comes from. One of them is we simply want to trust in the tithe as a church. We want to trust in the tithe as a church. We talk about returning back a portion. Returning means we're returning back to God's what's God's. Like when I give my kids a bag of M&Ms, I say, here, give me some. And that's a very crucial moment where that child either realizes and recognizes why he has those M&Ms in the first place, or he thinks he's just entitled, he's earned them, and he deserves them, and he keeps them all for himself. And let me let you know, God does the same thing with the M&Ms we are given as well. But as a church, we want to trust in the tithe. That's why we don't come to you every time a need arises and say, please, 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 we give. When the pandemic hit, we didn't come and try to raise money to provide toilet paper. We already had it here. You already gave to that. We read in the scriptures in Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. It says, bring all 10% in. And if you do that, two things will happen. It says, there will be food in my house. In other words, there'll be enough. Whether that's food, toilet paper, whatever we need, it'll be there when we have a need for it. God says, I want to have a storehouse so that whenever there's a need, I can meet it instantly and not have to come back around for it. But then he also says this, and I want you to test me in this. Some of you maybe have never tested God in this. The only area in scripture where God ever says, try me. He says, test me in this. And see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there will not be room enough for you to store it. What God is basically saying is, try me in this. I know it's a scary thing, but I want you to trust in the tithe. We as a church are trusting in it. That's why we don't come to you and ask for every dollar, for everything, every need that comes up. We just trust that if you tithe, there'll be enough. And if there's no money there, that means it's not something God wants us to do. That's our commitment as a church. And you know that. That's why we don't ask you for anything else. Just the tithe. And we also want you to trust in God to do that too. I was reading a study that said the average Christian in America gives about 2.5% back to God. If they gave the full 10%, that'd be an additional $300 billion annually that the church would have to do ministry and missions both here in America and around the world. God says, try me in this. There will be enough if we just tithe. And you've been a wonderfully faithful church. You know, as a church, we did not qualify for the second round of PPP. If you don't know what that is, that's where the government was, they're going to give money if you were struggling as a church or as a business or anybody. You know why? Because we didn't have a single quarter this year where you all gave less than you did last year. And that's how amazing you guys are. So that's awesome. And it's because of that all of our mission partners, we were there to meet every need our mission partners, brought us. They say, we are not going to give, go back on our commitments that we have at all. And it's because we want to trust in the tithe. Second thing is we want to give out of love, not guilt. 2 Corinthians says that we're to not give out of compulsion, but each person should give what they've decided in their heart, because God loves a cheerful giver. And that's why we don't pass the plate. It has nothing to do with COVID. We haven't been passing the plate since we started as a church. And the reason is, I remember years ago, I was talking to a guy who hadn't seen at church for quite a while. This was about 20 years ago. He's like, oh, you know, Pastor, I want to come, but, you know, I'm working on it. You know, I just, you know, I want to make sure I have something to put in the plate. Did you get that? You ever have that weird, awkward feeling when the plate goes by and you don't put anything in? And you want to say, I give online, right? Because it just feels awkward. We want to take that out and say, I want you to give because you want to give. I want you to give out of love, not out of guilt. And because we give out of love and not out of guilt, that's why whenever we talk about something like Orphan Network, which we're going to be talking about this morning, it's not to guilt you into giving. Rather, it's so that you can celebrate what you've already given. That's what it is. You're just celebrating what you've already done. One of the things that people often ask about church, they say, well, you know, if there is a God, then, you know, wouldn't he do something about all the, you know, needs in the world? You know, what about all the starving children? You know, wouldn't God do something about that? Or then they'll come back around and say, well, wouldn't, you know, what about the person, if you got to know Jesus to get to heaven, what about the person who's never heard about Jesus? And you know what the subtle backdrop behind those two things are, and those kind of things? Basically, it's somebody saying, well, I feel like as if I care more about these issues than God does. In an era of virtue signaling, how appropriate, right? You know what the best comeback to that ever is? It seems like as if you're concerned that you care more than God does about these things. Well, I want to let you know that God cares so much about them. He's led me and 1,000 of my closest friends to give 10% of everything that we have so that kids can get fed and so that people can hear about Jesus. What are you doing? Sorry, that may be a little too much. sometimes I get a little aggressive when it comes to those things. But in an era of virtue signaling and media posturing, money still talks, doesn't it? And it speaks volumes about where your heart is. And that's really what it's all about. God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And this morning, you're going to get to hear from somebody who has walked that out and has really led the way in that. Most years we get to hear from Pastor Eddie from Nicaragua. What Eddie does, you just saw him up on the video, he goes around the country of Nicaragua networking so that the children of Nicaragua can be fed and get the resources that they need. He has a partner here in America that does the exact same thing, a guy by the name of Dick Anderson. Dick Anderson goes around to churches and to individuals around America to network to try to find the resources to do what Eddie does in Nicaragua. Dick Anderson was a part of a startup that went from zero to $400 million in revenue. And along the way, he felt seriously that God was calling him into full-time ministry. And so he left that behind to go and work in the local church and then started working through networks of churches. And then ultimately in 2008, came to work with Orphan Network. And so I'm excited that you get to hear from the guy who does the same thing in America that Pastor Eddie does in Nicaragua is actually here with us this morning. And so if you would, please give Dick Anderson a warm welcome this morning.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Well, good morning, Essential Church. We're so happy to be here, so glad to be here personally. And thank you for all that you're doing through Pastor Carmen's church in Nicaragua. And I watched the sermon last week. It was a great message, Pastor Steve. And I was elated that I could come here and speak to you and I didn't have to wear a suit and tie. I could just kind of be myself. So what you see is what you get. Now, this is the Sunday each March where normally Eddie Morales, as Steve was saying, our country director, comes and speaks to you. But COVID has changed all that. So you're stuck with me, a big gringo, instead of the real deal, Anika. But we have that wonderful greeting from Eddie for you, and we also are here in force, the Orphan Network force. Landon and Jessica are in the back, and they are here, so we're here in force to just say thank you. Now, Eddie is a fantastic leader, and in the almost 13 years we've been working together, Orphan Network has been blessed to go from serving 700 children in the capital area of Managua to now serving over 23,000 children in almost every region of the country of Nicaragua. Essential Church has been partnering with us for almost our entire journey. And so we really want to thank you for that. And we want to thank the leaders, Pastor Steve. We want to Pastor Chris. We want to thank Tracy and Susan Ferguson, Harry and Terry Tully that really got our connection going. It's been such a blessing. Now, you're in a series about reducing non-essential barriers for people to have a relationship with God. And today I want to share with you what those barriers are in Nicaragua and how your church is knocking them down. You will see that they can be quite different from the barriers here in the United States. But let's get started. First, I want to show you a photo of Pastora Carminda's church, Iglesia de Dios, Church of God. This is the church that you support. It's a typical dirt floor church, dirt floor local church that Orphan Network partners with in Nicaragua, which, by the way, is the poorest Spanish-speaking country in the world. But thanks to Essential Church, last year, Pastora Carminda's dirt floor church got an upgrade. And now, as you can see from the photo, they actually have a beautiful tile floor that goes throughout their entire church and even a little bit outside that extends around the entire church. Now, tile floor is a big deal when you have a dirt floor and a rainy season that lasts for 6 months out of the year. So we want to thank you for that. And in the next slide, we're going to show you our heroine, Pastora Carminda, a truly strong leader who's giving her guts to serve her people in her community. Now, the first non-essential barrier that I want to share with you, and I say it's non-essential because it doesn't have to be a barrier at all. This non-essential barrier is simply a healthy mind and body, because you're getting food, you're getting nutrition. And if you don't get that food and nutrition by the age of 5, it's generally game over. You'll have chronic malnourishment for the rest of your life. You'll be stunted for your life. It'll be difficult for you to learn. It'll be difficult for you to get a job. And Nicaragua is a country of about 6.5 million people, but it's a very, very young country. 26% of the people there are 14 years old or less. I mentioned that it's the poorest Spanish-speaking country in the world, and that poverty translates into 1 out of every 6 children being chronically malnourished. And because they are chronically malnourished, let me show you what that looks like. Hold this right for the online folks. So here's this little girl, born malnourished. You can kind of tell because you see highlights in her hair. And those highlights are actually a reflection of dead hair because of a lack of protein. Something's keeping this little girl from getting the protein she needs. Now, because of the help that's being provided, the generosity of this church and others, now this is this girl today, about 6 years later. Beautiful, healthy, black hair, beautiful, healthy mind and body. And that's a non-essential barrier that we are breaking through together for that child. What is essential is accomplished by our partners in removing that barrier of feeding. In this next slide, you'll see this one. Yes, you'll see that the meals that we are providing on a daily basis. At least one healthy meal a day. Now, for most of the children we serve, this is their best meal of the day. And unfortunately, for many of them, it's their only meal of the day. The meals that you help provide are wiping out malnourishment in Pastora Carminda's community. It's very hard to have a relationship with God if your brain does not work. The next barrier and the next slide is a barrier that is the utterly ridiculous myths that are passed down mother to daughter, mother to daughter, mother to daughter, from generation to generation. In this photo, you'll see what we call our healthy beginnings classes. And the whole idea is that too many babies are born unhealthy because of these myths. These are myths that are passed down so moms don't know how to take care of themselves and they don't know how to take care of their babies. And to give you a couple examples of what those myths are, one of them is that after you have your baby, you never leave your home for the first 45 days. So you're living in what we would call a tin hut, a tin shack. It's 80 to 90 to 100 degrees. It's hot in there. Of course, there's no air conditioning, and you never leave that home for the first 45 days because you're taking care of your baby. And you know what? You never bathe either. You never clean yourself for the first 45 days. That's what mothers tell daughters is how you take care of your children. Another one, and I always think this is pretty funny because it really, I just couldn't believe how ridiculous this is, but if you're a nursing mom and you wear a black bra, can you say bra in this church? Well, I guess if you can cuss in your men's groups, you can say bra in this church. So if you're a nursing mom and you wear a black bra, you have spoiled your milk. So you need to get rid of that, which what happens? That means the baby doesn't eat while you're doing that, doesn't get the nourishment that was meant for you. Another one, kind of a similar one, is if you're a nursing mom and a drunken man looks at you, that spoiled your milk also. Now, these are so ridiculous that they're just hard to believe. But that's what a mother teaches a daughter, a mother teaches a daughter. And in our Healthy Beginnings classes, we teach women how to take care of their own bodies and how to take care of their babies. It educates the young teenage girls. As a part of that class, we educate the young teenage girls. So it's the Healthy Beginnings is not only for moms or nursing moms or even women that have several children, but they're trying to figure out how to take care of those children. But we also teach teenage girls on pregnancy, how it happens, and how to avoid the cultural norm in Nicaragua that says if you don't have a baby by the time you're 18, must be something wrong with you. You must be unwanted or can't win a man over. A baby is seen as a path to security and maybe love. And too many girls and their parents buy into this. And so that's why about 33% of the girls in Nicaragua have their first baby by the age of 18. And in the last 10 years, there's been a 50% increase in young girls between the age of 10 and 14 having their first babies. What we're talking about here is babies having babies. But in a Healthy Beginnings class, we're changing that. We're educating that. And even in a machismo culture like Nicaragua, the local church can teach a different way, God's way. And these barriers and the lack of education can go away. A third barrier, and this will show the next slide, which shows the lack of medications and the need to have our community development agents help these moms as far as they're healthy. But then the third barrier, which is the next slide, is how Essential Church is helping to reduce the non-essential barrier of having a relationship with God because you can't read and comprehend the Word of God. The public education system in Nicaragua is very, very poor. And in an economically depressed country, there's little value placed on education. Everyone needs to work. And besides, the hands of a child can pick coffee at a faster rate than an adult. And that means more money for the family, who lives off of two coffee-picking seasons in a year. The result is that in Pastora Carminda's community, only 21% of the children graduate from the sixth grade. Now think back to the sixth grade. I'm old, but I can still remember back to the sixth grade. And you can too. think back to the sixth grade and think about that's the entirety of your education for the rest of your life. If that was it for you, that's what you had to live on from an educational standpoint for your life. Now think of your four friends, and you are the only one out of all five who have that education. That's what is typical in the communities where we are serving. But you're helping to break through that with our after-school education program. And we're attacking this lack of education through that program. And we really focus on four things, really four essential things. One is Spanish reading fluency and comprehension, you know, so that you can read the Word of God. The second is math skills, so that I have a good enough math skills to get a job. And maybe I can even start my own business. The third thing is to stay in school. Yes, there's coffee picking season, but stay in school. Don't drop out. And then the fourth thing is parental involvement, so that the parents understand the value of education. And all these things are increasing and improving in Pastor Carminda's church. A little education can go a long way in developing a relationship with your Heavenly Father. All of these barriers can be proved. And the local church is the hero in all of this. So in the next slide, what you'll see is the spiritual impact of this holistic ministry. Last year, in this year, Pastor Carminda led 98 people to say yes to Jesus Christ, 42 of them being parents and 56 children. That's the impact that your church is having. Let me just share with you one story. The next slide will show you the picture of Sadie. And she really represents so many stories of success. She's an 8-year-old girl. She's doing really well because of the after-school education program, one of the best students in the third grade. She started coming to the feeding program over 5 years ago. So she was getting a nourishing meal 5 days a week. Like so many moms, she was wondering, who's feeding my children? Why is this change happening? Why is she going from malnourished to nourished with beautiful black hair? What's happening? Well, the local church. Well, why is the local church doing this? Well, come see for yourself. And the mom came and she accepted the Lord. And now 2 years later, she's a leader in Pastor Carminda's church. And today, Sadie and her 2-year-old brother, they attend the feeding program. Sadie's a part of the after-school education program. And this has been a life-changing thing for that particular family. So those are some of the barriers that I consider to be non-essential that we see over and over again in Nicaragua. And it's something that we can change. It doesn't have to be that way. And thanks to partnerships like ours and other Orphan Network investors, we are knocking down those barriers for people to have a relationship with the Lord. Now I'd like to take a minute and just address some of the barriers that are common not only in the United States, not only in Nicaragua, but also here in the United States. These are barriers that are common to all of us. And the first is the willingness of Christ followers to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. It says in Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. The question is, are we willing to speak up for others? Last week, Pastor Steve talked about the survey that they do on non-Christians, and they talk about, well, what do people think about Christians? And in Nicaragua, when I bring a team of people to Nicaragua, one of the things I love to do is I love to lead them into the garbage dump. And in the garbage dump, what you can see from this picture is that people work there to find food for themselves and then recyclables to sell. So plastic bottles, plastic sheets, they can make between $1 and $1.50 per day recycling those plastics. Of course, all that depends on the price of oil, because plastic is oil, and if the price is up, they can make a little bit more. if the price is down, sometimes they're the first people to feel that of the price of oil going down. Now we'll go into, I'll take a team of people into the garbage dump, and you can see it's dirty, it's hot, it smells, obviously it's garbage, the smoke gets in your eyes, you're there, and you know, us gringos coming from a nice place like this, come into this garbage dump, and you're just struck by the fact that there's people and there's children who are working in this garbage dump. And we go in there for the purpose of really inviting them to church. So we'll make sandwiches in advance, we'll bring cold bottles of water, and then we'll gather them around, and we'll say, you know, we're just here today to give you a sandwich, we're here today to give you some cold water, and we want to invite you to your church. And you parents who have young children like this, we want to invite you to our feeding program. You know, we want you to know that you are welcome at this local church. And you can come as you are. You don't have to get dressed up, just come as you are. And the people are really touched by that we would do those type of things. But then as I'm walking with the gringos into this community, I used the survey that Pastor Steve was talking about last week. I said there was a survey done, and they went up to the man on the street corner, typical survey, and they'd say, okay, I'm going to give you one word. When I give you that word, just give me your immediate reaction. Okay, the one word is Christian. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? Unfortunately, number one thing, judgmental. Number two, anti-women. Number three, anti-gay. And as we're in this garbage dump, trying to reach out to these people that are, you know, not really all that lovely, you know, I'm saying to these Christians coming in there, wouldn't it be great someday if we do that survey and the response is, you know, I'm going to give you the word is Christian. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? Wouldn't it be wonderful if someday people would respond, oh, yeah, those are those crazy people. They're willing to go into garbage dumps to hand out sandwiches and a cold bottle of water. They're willing to invite people to their church and tell them that they can come just as they are. Or here in the United States, that same issue exists. Oh, those are those crazy people that take care of the poor and the needy, and they take care of foster kids because they're unwilling to allow people to grow up without a good family. Oh, those are those crazy people. One of the barriers is just, are we willing to speak up for the things that we see? A second barrier that's in common is brought out in Hebrews 12:1. It says, let us throw off anything that hinders us, and the sin that is so easily entangles us. So a barrier that I can have in my life of things that I need to throw off or things that hinder me is my stuff. You know, my stuff, my toys, my accumulation of things, and then the debt that can go along with that. So much so that I have no space to speak up for anybody else. I've got no room for it in my life because I'm taking care of my stuff. Sometimes we hear that about Jesus, who talked about and invited us to the abundant life, and sometimes I misinterpret that to mean better car, better job, bigger home, things like that. Or the sin that so easily entangles me, sins that I just can't quite get over and get free of, so I don't consider myself worthy to serve God by serving other people. Or I listen to Satan, you know, Jesus called Satan the father of all lies. And I listen to that, you know, you're not worthy. You have issues in your life, as if anybody doesn't have issues in their life. But you're unworthy to serve me. And that is so far from the truth. So far from the truth. Those are barriers that all of us have in common. Whether you're in Nicaragua or here in the United States, those are barriers that prevent us and prevent others from having a great relationship with God. Well, let me just end with this. When I first started at Orphan Network and came to Nicaragua, got off, and immediately after going out of the airplane terminal, I was just overwhelmed by the needs that I saw everywhere. children begging, anybody just trying to do sell things on the street corner, bags of water, wash your windows on your car, do anything in order to earn a few dollars. And I was just overwhelmed by that. And I was just overwhelmed by the needs. But fortunately, the Lord provided this verse out of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 3:27, and I really like the Message Bible translation. Now, for some of you Bible scholars, you might, the Message Bible, but I really like this translation. It says this, it says, "Never walk past someone who deserves your help. Your hands are God's hands for that person." Never walk past someone who deserves your help. Your hands are God's hands for that person. And what I like so much about that verse is, being a business guy, and God has given me a mind, God has given me discernment. And so I like that word that said deserves, because not everybody deserves our help. There's people that just make their living off of begging, you know. But when I think of the children that we're serving, the children who are going to have healthy minds and bodies, the young girls that are going to be taught how to take care of themselves and the babies that they have, and the after-school education program, I say, oh, okay, yeah, they deserve our help. They are deserving. And then the second part of that verse is, your hands are God's hands for that person. And that is plan B. And as Pastor Steve was talking about, you know, we are God's in terms of our giving, and that God has plan A. That's us. There is no plan B. And so if it's not us, it's just not going to happen. And then the third thing, never walk past someone who deserves your help. Your hands are God's hands for that person. Is when I think about it, my hands are God's hands. And that touches me, to think that the God of the universe could use a screwed up person like me, makes so many mistakes, goes back to repeating old sins, that a God of the universe could use my hands. What a privilege. What a privilege. And that's what he invites us to as we knock down barriers of reaching people for God. Let me just pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for what this church stands for. Thank you for the pastors of this church that have created an open and welcoming environment. All are welcome here. All can come. All can learn, Lord. Thank you for their church and this generosity of this church, that they would be so generous that they would serve children in Nicaragua who they will not meet this side of heaven. Thank you for that generosity. And thank you for people like Eddie and Pastora Carminda who are using that generosity to change lives in Nicaragua. Lord, please bless this church richly, and please bless all those who attend and all who will come here. And may many come to know you, Lord, as a result of this church. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.